Customization, transparency, profit. The HedgeBetter sports betting platform is a revolutionary concept that creates a competitive advantage for every party involved in the sports betting process. We are putting the odds in your hands, cutting out the middleman, and empowering a future generation of sports bettors. Look for the HedgeBetter sports betting platform coming in 2023. In the meantime, visit us at www.hedgebetter.com, follow us on Instagram at HedgeBetter, and subscribe to the HedgeBetter YouTube channel.
Back at it again, old school type here with just me, Naz, and Steel. So Steel and Naz here, huh?
Yeah, hot start. Steel and Naz.
Yes, only. Episode 88, no guest tonight. We're going to roll it out. Big time exhibitions, spring training, would you say?
Yeah, we're here. Training, football's back.
Training camp football starts tonight, which is Thursday night. This will probably come on Friday or Saturday. But the Patriots, we were gonna actually record a couple days from now, but you know the Patriots aren't really playing too many starters, so we're just gonna get right into it. Tonight we have a lot to go over from the Patriots, who to look out for in this game one here, the retirement of James White, which is surprising but not too surprising considering his injuries.
Sucks.
We're gonna get our top five QBs to look out for in this 2022 season. The Red Sox are bowing out to cancel the season. Just cancel the season. The Yankees are also hitting a skid, but they're up by a billion on everyone, so it's okay. Since it's just me and Steel tonight, we both watched the captain on ESPN, Derek Jeter documentary, so we're going to give our reviews on that. Last episode coming out Thursday night tonight. Big signings back of Patrice Bergeron and David Krejci for the Boston Bruins. We'll have our thoughts on that. And rest in peace to Bill Russell, but it just came out today. There's good news outside of him passing away. That was bad news. But retiring the number six all around the NBA, we're going to give our thoughts on that. So we're just going to hop right into it as the Patriots preseason at home against the Giants. I mean, this football in New England, it's just great to see. I know we're not going to be seeing any starters tonight, I think, for the most part. But, getting out and playing football here, that's the dream.
Yeah, that's it. We're back. Gotta love it. We're on TV, and I don't know. I'm like, it's weird because this is kind of like year three for me now of actually like paying attention to preseason football, because like during like the Brady run, like I'm not like, no, I didn't give a fuck.
Yeah, it's
about
crazy.
That. So like, I don't know. I'm interested to see the coaching, especially offensively, see what Patricia can do and how the play calling works. But I don't know. We'll see.
I look at one player and one player only of me, like, focusing all my time tonight of looking at, and that's Tyquan Thornton.
Yep.
Second round pick out of Baylor.
Baylor, yep.
I believe he, absolute speed demon, has been a great, pleasant surprise at camp. I think he's going to be rocking number 88, which is Flames.
That's if you rock that as a wide receiver, you're putting the pressure on your back.
So, the Patriots obviously haven't had good history with drafting receivers with, N'Keal Harry, the latest mishap there.
I mean, he's already out for weeks.
Yeah, you can go down the list. It's a tough list to look at. But another guy you also look is Trey Nixon. I think Trey Nixon has done very well with the offseason. He's been one of those guys who's been working out with Mac Jones. It seems like if they keep six receivers, he's going to be number six there. Behind him is little Jordan Humphrey there. Hell of a name. Josh Hammond they just signed. So that's going to be a thing to look out for. I think it's a very deep and competitive receiving core. I think they're so deep here where you're not going to see probably their top four, top five guys playing tonight. And another thing I'm looking out for is, I don't care. I really hope Brian Hoyer doesn't start because I'd like to see Bailey Zapp. Is it Bailey Zapp or Zappy?
It's Zappy as far as I know.
Calling it Zappy. It's Joe Zappy's little brother.
Yeah.
Bailey Zappy. I think he could be a pleasant surprise to be the backup quarterback this year. Who knows what happens throwing out. I'm not going to, drop any big name things of what he could do. But I think there's a lot of, not pressure on him. I think there's no pressure, honestly. Nah. I think he can go in here tonight with full steam ahead. I'm sure he's had a great, off season. Seems like an absolute beauty. So I think he could come out, really play well. On the defensive side of the ball, I think they're not going to play as many starters, like I said, up to the offensive side. But I could see a guy like Malcolm Butler playing. It's going to be, is he going to come out? Because I think he needs to come out, because I think it's going to come down to either him or who's the other guy there?
Jonathan Jones, Terrence Mitchell.
Terrence Mitchell, who's going to make the team. I think they're all fighting for a spot, all these veteran guys. I think it's literally up to Terrence Mitchell or Malcolm Butler who's going to make the team. I just think it's going to come down to that.
Because like that outside, like Jalen Mills is going to be on that side. The other side is wide open. Like who that like outside corner is for like the year. Like that could be, I mean, that it starts tonight, really.
Yeah, you almost want to even share. Bill Belichick knows a whole lot more than we do, but they have so many dynamic safeties that like at what point are you like, all right, maybe let's try to make this guy a corner. Is it too late for that? Like, I don't know. Just going into the season with Jalen Mills, I said on last week's show, as him as the number one corner, I'm not a big fan of.
I think I saw something that in one of the practices, they were putting Jonathan Jones on the other side of Jalen Mills, and then they were having the rookie Malcolm Jones be like the slot guy. Like they were working that in. Marcus Jones, I mean, as the slot guy. And I don't know, maybe we see that tonight. See what the rookie's got.
Be great to see. I would love to see it. Jones is coming out.
Yeah.
Coming out the play.
I think there's like three corners we have named Jones, last name. So, let's get two out of three.
You got
anyway.
Bill Murray, defensive end. I just love how that's him.
One guy I'm watching also tonight, he might get a good amount of playing time, is LeBryan Roy.
LeBryan Ray. Okay.
He's an undrafted Bama guy, defensive tackle.
Oh, he's in.
I guess he's been tearing it up during practice. He's been one of like the biggest surprises. So, like, let's see him tonight. Get a sack or two.
Is he even on this? I'm not looking at the depth chart and I don't even see him.
Depth chart, probably not. Roster, yes.
Yes. I love that. A Bama guy, undrafted.
Undrafted.
Feed me.
Bama.
And not a quarterback. Like, feed me.
Defensive tackle. Let's go. Like, how did you undraft him? Like, come on. Come on, NFL.
Yeah, another guy I like who I think is going to be one of the most underrated players in this defense all season is going to be Raekwon McMillan. The linebacker there, I think he's going to play more inside. Probably a more backup role behind Juwan Bentley, but he'll see get plenty of touches. You know, he'll get a lot of reps out there. I just think it really they got to come out and set the tone tonight. I don't care that they don't have the starters playing. You're +3 money tonight. I think you hammer them preseason game number one. I know this is going to come out after Thursday, but I'm taking the Pats tonight in preseason gambling.
Especially because especially when it comes to like the depth chart and stuff, there are very few players on that defense that like you can just like relax and still have your job.
Yeah, I don't.
Like, that's wide open.
I don't think that's the thing in the whole NFL. No one can.
Yeah,
the guys playing tonight are playing for their jobs.
Yeah.
Actually, since we're on the topic, did you see the new Hard Knocks?
I have not.
It was electricity, but the guy goes
Dan Campbell, I'm sure.
Yeah, he goes off about there's plenty of guys that already have a starting job. There are guys fighting for starting jobs. And then there's the rest of you people who are fighting for roster spots. These are exactly the guys who are fighting tonight who are probably going to be starting in the game because they're sitting all their starters here.
Yeah. Are the Giants?
I'm not sure. I don't really care either.
No.
I'd like to see Cole Strange play. I'd like to see the rookie get some time.
Yeah, and especially with the O-line. They've been, the tough part of camp.
Yeah, it seems like they're getting...
From what Mike Reese and them are all saying.
Camp's a bunch of bull, though. That's where you work on things, the offseason, and I feel like they can really find their stride here in the next couple of weeks heading into week one.
Oh, yeah. I mean, a new offensive line struggling, in training camp is... we're good.
No, and if
that's not a big deal.
They have
you got to fix it.
They have people who have experience now, and Trent Brown's been a dog for years. Yep. Mike Anoa, who's an undrafted undrafted guy, has come in and played extremely well. David Andrews, we just signed him back for great money. Cole Strange, I mean, we'll see. That's a question mark there. It's a first round pick. I personally like the selection, but we'll see how it goes. And then Isaiah Wynn, who a lot of naysayers. He's a top five getting paid on the team. Who it's a cap hit. He's a first-round pick out of Georgia. I'd just like to see him perform well this year.
He's going
to
be great for 5 games this year, and then we'll just see him later.
Yeah.
That's just what that guy does.
And we have
great player, but
we have a guy, Yazir Durant, who's a second-string right tackle. You think we'll see another Durant in Boston in a couple weeks?
We'll see. Stay tuned.
Spin zone. Yeah. All right, we're going to spin it since we have a lot of people taking bye weeks this week. We didn't feel like taking the bye week. So your top QBs in 2022. So I'll go first. My number one, we'll start from one. I don't want to be number five. to one. I want to do one. So my number one quarterback for this season, 2022, is going to be NFL MVP Patrick Mahomes. I just think, you know, with Tyreek Hill leaving and a lot of underrated pieces coming in with Juju Smith Jr. there and Scandling from the Packers. Yep. I feel like he still has weapons to his arsenal. I still think he's the most talented quarterback in the NFL, and I think he's got a lot of things going for him this season. Obviously, the AFC West is going to be tough, but I feel like this team always, you know, finds a way to win.
Yeah.
Who's your number one?
We're not wrong. We're not wrong. Number one. I mean, it's hard to go against Mahomes for number one, preseason anyway. I mean, he's been lights out since he showed up in the league. 50 touchdowns his first year. You know, Super Bowl, multiple Super Bowl appearances. I mean, he's the guy to be. I think the production might be a bit down because of how much Tyreek Hill opens.
Yeah,
the
we're
field.
Not talking about fantasy football. We're talking about.
That. I'm just saying. Yeah. I'm just saying.
Oh, you're just saying. Correct. Just saying we'll get you locked up in Alcatraz for.
No, it won't. That's fucking. All right, go two then, fucking asshole.
Number two is the man.
Oh, that pick sucks.
Number two is the man himself, the greatest quarterback to ever play the game. I think Tom Brady is going to have another great season. I think people think his offense is depleted. He still has Mike Evans, Chris Godwin. I mean, even they got some tight ends. I didn't even know they had Kyle Rudolph.
Yeah.
Who's going to be a player this year. And Julio Jones. I think Tom Brady is going to open up the field, even with these running backs. We didn't talk about James White retiring. We'll get to that in a second. But, you know, he's got these security blankets and Giovanni Bernard and, Leonard Fournette. So I think he's got a lot of things going for him. You have a problem with my number two quarterback?
Not at all. Not at all.
Okay.
Tom Brady's Tom Brady. No, I don't need to say anything here.
Number three is the guy who killed grandmas all last season and Aaron Rodgers. Almost said the wrong Aaron
there.
Yeah,
that would have been tough.
it seems like he's out. He's the probably, if not, I think he's the second most talented quarterback in the league behind Mahomes. I just think he gets a lot going for his team. They have probably, in my opinion, outside of the Browns, probably the best running back tandem in the league. So that's going to help him with who's that Quadzilla there and Aaron Jones. So and then they have Alan Lazard. Seems like they just picked up Sammy Watkins too, I think he'll be an underrated pickup
if he plays.
Yeah, I think that's my number three. I think that's fair to say, right?
Yeah, that's fair.
Let's get this piece of gum.
Three.
That was three.
Big year for Justin Herbert, Chargers. His defense is going to be unreal. He's just going to be out there slinging it. That offense is going to be unbelievable.
I just think when it comes down to it, and the game's on the line, he's just not ready.
Yeah, that's good. This is my number three.
Okay.
You had yours.
Yeah, I just don't agree with it.
No, that's fine. Yeah. You said your number three. Now I'm saying mine.
Yeah, and I didn't agree with it. So I
no, Herbert, I think the Chargers are going to be a real problem this year. I think they are. I think them and the Chiefs. I think they're like, I like the Raiders, like Derek Carr, but I feel like they underachieve so much. So, like, I'm not sure if I believe in them. And then Russell Wilson on the Broncos, I'm just completely unsure of. So, like, that West, I think it's going to be Chiefs and Chargers coming out of there.
Chiefs and Chargers. I got a lot of faith in the Broncos. I feel like I said it all last season. If they ever got a quarterback, this team would be lights out. Now they have a quarterback. Let's see what they can do. But to your point, the Chargers had another year of getting experience despite not making the playoffs. The Broncos, maybe this could just be the feel-out year and then the next year after they go for it. I just think, it's a guy too, fantasy football-wise, completely off topic. I'm going Anton here. I think Jerry Jeudy is a very underrated receiver pickup in fantasy football. My number four top QB in 2022 is Josh Allen of the Buffalo Bills. I think they have the best overall team in the whole league, offensive and defensive side of the ball. Stephon Diggs is the top three wide receiver in the league. It seems like they always get their running backs going with Singletary. That McKenzie guy killed the Patriots last year. He's so mobile, so agile. Despite hating the Buffalo Bills, I have a lot of respect for the Grand Poobah woman and Josh Allen.
Josh Allen. So it's Rodgers for me there.
Okay.
It'll be Rodgers for me there. Rodgers at four. I mean, exactly. I mean, and I'm interested to see him, his like mild shit talking, like losing Davante Adams and stuff.
Yeah.
Like, show us Aaron Rodgers.
He will.
I believe he will. Like, I'm on the team. I'm not
against it. That was a great interview, PMT there. That was You didn't listen to that?
I did. Big Cat. Big Cat's got a dynasty on him. That was so fucking funny to say right to his face.
That was like an all-time
interview. He's like, I got more Super Bowls than you, pal.
I had to drop my phone. I was like, this is good. Number five, this is my underrated pick. I think the first four, like, I think everyone would have been okay with it. I'm going with Kirk Cousins at number five. He's been putting up unbelievable stats the last, like, 4 years. I think he's had a rating of high 90s, low 100s the past couple of seasons, too. People have really underrated him. It just seems like they can make a big step this year with the Bears, you know, being awful. The Lions are going to be another disappointment besides a great showing on Hard Knocks the other night. I just think they have a great chance to make the playoffs, and he's going to want to have to, you know, lead them to the promised land. And I think they could definitely win a playoff game.
So just like not even giving it like hard thought, like right off the bat, like you just put Kirk Cousins over Joe Burrow, Russell Wilson, and Herbert.
Yeah.
Nuts.
Seasons they're going to have. Yeah, I think Ludicrous. Kirk Cousins is going to be the fifth best quarterback.
Ludicrous. That is absolutely insane. Like, that's not even like a hot take. That's just nuts.
Well, some people predicted the Bengals to make the Super Bowl last season, and I thought we would.
That's a great segue, because my five is Joe Burrow.
Okay.
Let's fucking go. Joe Burrow's going to be back with a vengeance. Can't wait.
I can't disagree with five there. I just think he's pretty injury prone.
Josh Allen is six. For everyone that listens to this and is like, steals handy on Josh, like, he's six.
Yeah.
Josh Allen's great. But that's it.
But I just feel like the Bengals, to a point last season, peaked. I feel like there's too many good teams in the AFC to get back to where they went.
I'm not saying they'll get back there, but I think the fact that, like the young quarterbacks, like Lamar Jackson or, like, I don't know, like Tua or Josh, like, they don't really have proven they're a winner. Like, I think Joe Burrow's proven he's a winner, and a winning quarterback can, like, help you get there better than, like, something. You know what I mean?
I agree.
Like, that's huge.
I just think and their division itself is so underrated as well. Like, the Browns, who knows what's going to happen with the Deshaun Watson thing. He's probably gonna get to spend the whole season.
I think you're not playing Deshaun Watson. Yeah. I think that's not together.
Pittsburgh is gonna have an up and down season, and then the Ravens are right there as divisional favorites. So you could really see, you know, a hit or miss season from the Bengals. I do see them making the playoffs, but probably as a wild card team. I have the Ravens personally win that division.
But the Ravens are one sack away from their season imploding.
Yeah, that's true. But so is the Bengals.
No, I get that. But he's like. I mean, if there's anything that the Bengals had to do, it was like Joe Burrow needs to be sacked less. That was like the only thing they had to change over the offseason.
The only chance the Browns have to win the division at this point, if you have Jacoby Brissett under center week one, is for him to tear his ACL, because you know who's coming in if he gets hurt?
Dobbs. Let's go.
Dobbs season. Glad I snuck that in there.
Need it.
Yeah, so that's our football segment there. Hate it or love it, top five quarterbacks. Maybe next week we'll do receivers or something like that.
Yeah,
we'll have some fun with it. We're now transitioning on to the only sport that's really playing regular season right now, which is baseball. And the Boston Red Sox season has gone to shit. I've canceled the season. I just did it last night. I said these games are no longer fun to watch. What the GM did this year, president of baseball operations, what the hell's name, Chaim Bloom. Traded away Christian Vasquez. Not going to sign these guys. Didn't get any pitching. Oh, and then Chris Sale falls off a bike.
Yeah, what a fuck. What an asshole. Asshole.
I honestly, like, I was just like, all right, it's just shit luck that, like.
It is.
No, that, like, he's just getting hurt, and then he falls off a bike. It's like, all right, that one's on you.
Yeah. No, that's completely
fair. That one's on him.
I picture Chris Sale riding a bike at, like, a trillion miles per hour. Like, yeah. You know what I mean? Like, he's not just, like, out for a casual stroll. I don't think guy has ever done anything casually in his life.
Anyone in tents that's ever ridden a bicycle has fallen off a bicycle.
Yeah, no, he definitely, yeah, must have been ugly.
Myself included.
It's tough, though.
Yeah, but where this team has come, you even see the other night, they had a chance to beat the Braves, I think, the last two nights, and they've blown it both. They had a pretty good series against Houston last week. They take two out of three, and you're like, all right, you got a four-game set with the Kansas City Royals. Take three of four, and I'm happy. So I think they lost the first game. I was like, okay, that's the one. They win the second one. And then
the Jared Duran game?
Third was the walk-off dinger.
Oh, okay.
The walk-off homer, and then the fourth was the Jared Duran game. So it was all pretty bad.
Insane that they're still putting that kid out there.
I –
Insane.
Sean McDonough was on the call last night because of the Braves, like national television. He's like, yeah, that guy does not belong in Major League Baseball. Couldn't agree more, Sean.
Yeah.
Couldn't agree more.
And for like, yeah. But like the opposing team got to be like, yeah, like what are they doing over there? Like you got to be bad.
Like awful.
Yeah. Like they don't like, they're trying to be like nice.
No, like even I want to go to the lineup that they had last night. This was bullshit. They have Tommy Pham like leading off. That guy's bat's like 220, dude.
He's got like 3 home runs in like the last 3 games though, doesn't he?
Yeah, but they're having him lead off. It's just gross. Yeah, no, it's gross to see. I'm trying to get to the box score to see where we ended up last night. Nick Pivetta, that's the one bright spot I like. He's 8-9 with a 4-5-1. But, you know, he goes out there and he pitches his balls off every time. Kind of reminds me of not at his peak Jake Peavy of just you going out there and hauling ass. Kind of like it. Yeah, but this McGuire guy stinks. The catcher was coming. Yeah, we can all make that joke about him jerking it, but... you know, Jaron Duran batting last.
Deservedly so.
Bobby Dahl back. I don't even know why. He hit a home run last night, but he's a waste of space. Verdugo is just that trade with Mookie Betts just makes it so one-sided now that he's just like your prized possession of that trade. It's tough to see. And you know what? Devers is still riding high, batting 310. I think he's got 23 jacks. And then Bogarts. It's just going to be sad to see Bogarts leaving next season. JD Martinez leaving next season. And then Devers eventually leaving because I think they've put up enough with this guy's bullshit. And you even look at a guy like Alex Cora. How long is he going to stay for? Are they going to blow the whole team up? I mean, the Mets are like in first place in the NL East. That's when you know baseball's really changing.
Yeah, it's wild stuff. One thing I've seen, too, when it comes to the Sox is there's been crazy, like, due to his injuries, like, revisionist history on Chris Sale. Like, I've seen, like, tweets and stuff that have said, like, worst contract in, like, Red Sox history and stuff. And that's nuts.
Yeah, no, I'll go to bat for that any day because he won, at the end of the day, he won us a World Series, and that's the ultimate goal.
That's the point.
That's the ultimate goal. So I'm perfectly okay with that trade. I'll take it all day. Even Matt was in here last week talking about how great Kopech was and who's the second baseman
like
there.
Chris Sale, yeah. When that was done, had no injury history and was literally like on pace to be one of the greatest pitchers in history.
Yeah.
And then he was for like 2 years, and then he's had shit injuries. I mean,
yeah.
He fell off a bike.
Yeah. Yeah, for the season.
Yeah.
Like, honestly, it's better off that bike. I mean, what was he going to come back? The team was just going to turn around?
Win like 4
come
or 5
on.
Games. Yeah,
come on.
It wasn't going to change too much.
Speaking of it, your team's kind of shit in the bed.
2-7 this month. 2-7
this
month.
2-8 in the last 10. Still got a comfortable 10-game lead in the AL East.
Everything's falling apart.
Houston's now taking the best record in the AL and... Joey Gallo hit a homer for the Dodgers last night.
They're undefeated since getting Joey Gallo.
That's unreal.
And I think the Yankees are like 1-7 since trading.
Do you
Joey
like
Gallo.
That, or you're like, oh, fuck this guy?
I fucking hate that guy. If Joey Gallo ends this year with a ring, I'm going to be so mad.
They've won 10 in a row. They're the hottest team, 77-33.
Yeah. And Joey Gallo curse. That's like a thing in Yankees Twitter. It's like happening already. But the reason I'm not that worried is because it's mostly been the bats that have been the issue, and that's fine.
Yeah, they'll come back.
They'll get back, yeah. That's why I'm not too worried about it.
What's the Judge tracker at, like 44?
45 last night.
45 last night? You know, if he hits 60, that's unreal.
Yeah. No, and I mean, like, it's there.
Yeah.
It's like, that's like a real thing that could happen.
Yeah. He ain't in 74 though. Let's just
No.
If he does, like, I'll be pumped, and I don't like the Yankees.
Yeah, no, he hit 62. I will be so against steroids.
It's going to be great seeing him play at Fenway next year.
Yeah, probably. A couple times a year.
Touche.
The Yankees give him $1 trillion.
Touche.
Do it, Brian Cashman. Put your head on a spike.
What team do you think contends with the Yankees here when you go to postseason play?
My, like, very respected mortal enemy, Justin Verlander, is having, like, the best year of his career.
He's 39 years old. He's got, like, a 1.47 ERA.
It's, like, the best year of his career. That guy scares the shit out of
yeah.
me. Like, it's the Astros by a mile.
By a
like,
mile.
Game 7 versus Verlander, I'd rather be dead.
Yeah, I think another team that people aren't talking about just because they've had an up-and-down year is the team that everyone's talking about in the beginning of the season, Toronto. I think Toronto is a big team where they have really good 1-9 bats with Guerrero there, Bichette, George Springer is one of my favorite players in the league. And then you got a guy who they just signed, Jackie Bradley Jr., as their safety valve in the eighth and ninth inning.
Thank God. But World Series on?
On. But they're first or second in the wild card. That's another team to look out for. The surprising Seattle Mariners.
They're high up there on a team I don't want to play.
No, I think there's only two teams that can beat you, and we just named them, Houston and Toronto. I don't think anyone else can beat the Yankees. I'm not even jinxing anything. That's just
I mean, part of this 2-7 run is like Seattle's two of those series.
Oh, really?
Yeah, like I don't really want to play Seattle.
Oh, okay.
I'm pretty good.
Yeah, the Mets have played well. San Diego got all that big haul and have playing pretty well. I think they won the last two. So it'll be interesting to see. My bandwagon team is by far San Diego.
It does
gonna root for them.
Like I think there's like two like playoff races for the division anyway, not the wild card.
Which one?
I think it's both centrals. Every other division is like 10
so
games.
So St. Louis got a half game up on Milwaukee in the NL Central. And in the AL Central, Cleveland's up on Minnesota by a game and a half, followed by the White Sox at 3.5. But Cleveland's like 59-52. Like if the Sox were in that division, they'd only be like 5 back, which is like wild.
Got to switch it up.
Yeah.
Got
to
get out of it.
In comparison to the 17 games behind we are, you guys.
Yeah, tough scene.
Yeah. Speaking of a tough scene, a good scene and a tough episode scene. The Captain, that's been released on ESPN, the first 6 episodes. I think the finale's dropping tonight on Derek Jeter's career. And in comparison, if you haven't seen it yet, if you've seen the Man in the Arena, I personally think even as a diehard Patriots New Englander that the Derek Jeter documentary was way better. He was way more open about things. I feel like there were so many times in it where they were just setting him up where they would have a writer just like – there was even one like racial comment of one of the writers was like, oh, he doesn't like have a color. And if you didn't know, Derek Jeter was black. He's half white, half black.
Yeah.
And the guy said he didn't have a color. And then they had Derek Jeter responding to the idiot statement right away.
What the fuck does that guy mean?
I was just like the way the producers did it like that. That was very good in terms of him responding to all. They had a bunch of writers on and basically him responding to what their perspective of what they thought they saw. Because obviously in Derek Jeter's career, he was very, you know, quiet. Didn't give anything to the media. And you know what? He was giving a lot of stuff out during his during this documentary here.
Yeah, there was one point, too. I forget like exactly what they were talking about. But like they brought on his wife and like then they got back to him like that. And he was just like, she's talking too much. he was just like right away. Like he went right back into that introvert, like no one should know my business type of thing.
My favorite episode, obviously, was when they showed the collapse of the 3-0 in 2004, and they had Theo Epstein talking, and the best was they were just so mad about it. It just in comparison to the Man in the Arena, like when the Pats lost to the Giants in 2007, he was just like, I saw Manny on a duck boat saying Jeter's playing golf. What's better than this or something like that? He's like, I fucking hated that man.
Yeah,
I was like, that's everything I needed to see. Bernie Williams went off saying the biggest collapse in sports history.
One of the comments I love too was Posada. He was just like, Pedro Martinez. I fucking hate that guy.
Yeah,
he was like that was real. Like he was like, I do not like that guy.
Because he never got him. Besides the that's what killed me too as a Red Sox fan watching it when they show the 0-3 obviously with the Aaron Boone walk off. But the balls on Grady, it's like, oh no, let's leave up. He lets up like 5 hits in a row. It's like, oh no, let's leave him out there.
Even into Posada, who I think they said was like 0 for like 70 against Pedro.
Yeah, and that's when the only time that he got like his way on Pedro was the base hit there that I think he tied the game up at that time in game 7. But yeah, I think great documentary. It's cool to see another perspective. I'm interested in the last episode scene because I know his ownership didn't go well with the Miami Marlins and how much, you know, that's affected him or if he even gives a shit.
Love the A-Rod Jeter banter, too.
Like,
he said this. Like, you can tell A-Rod is just, like, such, like, a scared little man on the inside, like, trying to say the right thing.
No, but I think you can tell in A-Rod that he's changed a lot.
Definitely.
They could tell that he knows he was an asshole back in the day. And that it was more about, oh, I don't care about rings. I just know I'm better than him. Yeah, we get it. We all know that Alex Rodriguez is a better baseball player than Derek Jeter. But at the end of the day, it came down to rings, and that's all Derek Jeter cared about. That's why he'll always get remembered. I mean, obviously with the steroids thrown in of why it's not in the Hall of Fame and why Derek Jeter was a first ballot Hall of Famer.
Yeah, and I love how Jeter was just like when that happened, he was like, the only thing I cared about when A-Rod got caught with the steroids, like he was like, I got to answer all these fucking questions about it. Like, he didn't give a shit that he did it. He was just like, no, I got to answer all this nonsense. Which is how I would probably react to. You know what I mean?
Yeah, good to see. Who do you think is next who gets one of those documentaries?
So we got
Brady, you got Jordan.
Yeah, Brady, Jordan. So give me Alex Ovechkin.
That'd be sick.
Give me the story. Show me the depths of Russia.
But you need winners. Like, yeah, he won one. But you think about winners. Like, I feel like Kobe would be a great one, but obviously you don't have his word of mouth. Yeah. Rest in peace.
It's sadly, almost definitely should be LeBron, but, like, I'm not going to watch a second.
No, I'm not going to watch a second of that.
Not a second.
No.
But that's, like the way it's been going, that's, like, who it should be.
Yeah. I'm thinking that hockey-wise, but even they don't even like doing that about hockey because not everyone likes hockey, which is bull. But,
although they might do it just because ESPN owns hockey now.
Yeah. Even I could see.
It would definitely be Crosby.
I could see a David Ortiz one.
Nah, gross. Actually, no, that'd be electric.
He won three. I think that's probably the next one. I think David Ortiz.
I mean, the next one's LeBron, dude.
Don't even fight.
But like, I mean, LeBron's like already had one.
You think they had any cameras in the bubble?
Not one. Definitely not at the Phoenix Suns locker room. But I don't know.
Yeah.
See, I'm down for all those things. They're so well done, though.
Yep. I thought
they have been three players I like.
No,
so,
and
like,
they get the right writers in there too that aren't gonna like just like praise this guy. They're gonna say exactly what they saw. They're gonna, you know, even point out the negatives of like, you know, Derek Jeter. Everyone thought he was this guy, but he really wasn't that. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah, he was definitely like much more of a real person than Brady was at his.
Oh, yeah. I even liked, that's what I took about it the most. But
yeah,
even like Buster Olney was in it every time. I thought all his quotes were pretty good.
He had one where Jeter, like, it went quick to Jeter and he was like, what the fuck is that guy talking about? I forget exactly what he said. I can't think of it. Shit. It's in like episode 6. It was like the last one I watched. But he was just like, that's the dumbest thing I've ever heard.
Well, that's another problem. I kind of have a problem with the Man in the Arena coming out when it did. I think that should come out like at least 5 years
later. Years later.
That they did that. They did that too quick. I mean, I know he's playing into his mid-40s, but there'll be more time. I know there will. Speaking of people playing into their 40s, I know they're late 30s, but the Bruins re-signing Patrice Bergeron and getting back David Krejci to a one-year deal. Exciting for the team. Title odds. Initial thoughts on this deal?
Initial thoughts is there's at least, like, if that didn't happen, if those two didn't come back, next season for the Bruins is a complete wash.
Yeah.
It wouldn't have even mattered. It wouldn't even matter. I'm not saying this, like, those two make us actual contenders or anything like that, but they will be a competitive team that will be worth watching.
I'm all in to get like Milan Lucic and like Chara back at this point and just have like a last, like, you're not gonna win anything, but have a nice like last hurrah where we enjoy every moment.
Yeah, go nuts. And I mean, like, it's incredible. I mean, and especially the two combined, like, without the incentives, are like $3.5 million.
Yeah, and then that guy they got from
Zaka
from the Devils is getting paid $3.5 million.
Yeah.
By himself. And he's not even going to get half the points. Neither of them.
No. Third line wing.
Yeah. It's good to see Krejci back in uniform. I don't see any growth in this team. I just want them to bring back everyone. Get Sean Thornton out of retirement, throwing a couple puppies on the fourth line. I'm into that.
Yeah, I'm down. No, but it would be fun to watch. You got to survive the beginning of the year without Marchand and McAvoy. And then we can take it from there. Because they're both going to be out like the first half of the season, and that could just completely derail everything.
Yeah, I mean, I kind of like this in a way where we're going to see everyone for the last time. As you know, I bet their ceiling this year is going to be like it was last year. Make it try to win the first round matchup, even making the playoffs. I think that would be big. But if that's the realistic expectations, then Bergeron, Krejci will retire. Unfortunately, there'll be unfortunate parts of this because you could see Pastrnak not signing back. And then the good part is Sweeney could be gone because I would love to see Sweeney gone.
That would be great.
I've never seen to this point in a long time in the game of hockey of just a GM you want nothing to do with and he's still here.
We lost one of the best coaches. I guess some of the players didn't like the coaches, though.
Yeah,
just so, like internal stuff.
Yeah, so we
I
didn't hear everything. So, in defense, but I just don't. I don't like what he's done with the team. I don't think there's anyone really to grow off of in terms of guys who you're going to see for the next. Besides Pastrnak, guys you're going to see for the next 5 to 10 years on this team.
Yeah, and Pasta. Yeah. I think he's recruiting Czech players to like bring Pasta in.
That'd be tight.
The Zaka guy, like he was in one of the interviews. He was like, "There's 5 Czech players on this team." He was like, "That never happens." He was like, I've never been on an NHL team like with
all
this
in.
Much check.
All in.
And so, and I mean, then you got, and bringing Krejci back, like Krejci straight up said Bergeron and Pasta, like, they're why I came back.
Yeah, and
like,
Krejci said he was going to play for another team besides the Bruins. So that's good to see.
Yeah, of course. It does show you how good that organization is run, like not like Sweeney himself, but just like all together.
Yep.
Because like Bergeron and Krejci were both just like, dude, like if I was playing in the NHL next year, like this wasn't.
No,
I had no agent. Like there was no.
Oh, for sure.
Do I do this? Like I'm coming back to the Bruins.
Yeah, I just think in general, this is going to be more of a season you're going to appreciate more than.
Yeah,
most
it's a send-off.
In terms of it's a send off.
Like what was it like 2012-13 with the Celtics?
Yeah, last season.
Yeah.
Yeah. You're not going to get that far. There's no. That's the thing too. There's no expectation. So what's better than no expectations? Literally nothing.
I think. The best thing that could happen, because obviously, like. Probably not a cup contender, whatever. Beat the Leafs first round.
That'd be awesome.
Give me that one more time.
2-3, get a 3-seed.
Yeah,
like
have Maple Leaf square, empty, sad, one more time for me.
One more time. And have us be down like 7-1 going to third period.
No, get pummeled in the first half of the game. And then come back, Bergeron and Krejci hat tricks in the fucking third. Who cares? Let's go.
I'd love that. What I didn't love is last week, Bill Russell passed away. I think he was like in his 90s at this point.
He's up there, yeah.
All-time legend, Boston Celtics history. Really grew the game, you know, for himself, the greatest champion in sports. He's won 11 championships. I think he did a lot for basketball.
Of course.
Getting all races involved, you know, I think that was big. And, you know, they retired number 6 all around the NBA. That's a big fuck you to LeBron. I love that.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Love that.
And I couldn't agree more with it. I think people have been talking about, you know, Bob Cousy's playing the plumber or something like that. I get that he only had to beat a couple teams to win the championship, but why didn't those teams beat him?
Hey, you play who you play,
yeah, you
and
play
he
who
kicked
you play.
Their ass.
He kicked their ass. It's, you know, something like this, you don't mess around with it. When it comes to you see all these champions come by of, you know, Kevin Garnett really grabs this guy, Paul Pierce, even Jason Tatum to this current day, all these guys, you know, saw what he did, saw how he changed his community and put, I think he was one who ultimately put Boston on the map. If you think about it, it's guys like him. It's guys like Tom Brady. It's guys like David Ortiz. It's guys like Bobby Orr who, you know, put Boston truly on the map. If you're going to think about the 4 guys, I mean, between Bill Russell and Larry Bird, probably taking Bill Russell just because of the championships. But that's the core 4 I would take there.
Yeah, no, and like you could easily you could argue 6 should have been retired league wide 15 years.
Yeah, ago. It's just they always like to do that stuff when.
No, of course,
away.
Of course.
Yeah,
which sucks. Like I mean, that could have gone on forever because such an impact that guy's made. I mean, like literally, not a single person from any like anything has ever had a bad thing to say about Bill Russell.
No, literally, not.
Like not one.
That.
And when you're a winner and you do that, because like when you're a winner, most people hate you.
The award show, he flips Shaq off or Charles Barkley.
Yeah, it's like all of them. Like he's like, I would have kicked all of your asses. I think Ewing's up there. I think David Robinson's up there. Like he's just like, he was like, you guys got nothing.
He was a coach. I think he was like an ambassador. I think he was like all of the above at that point. I mean, it's crazy to think about. They had a list of the top 50 players of the last 50 years. And I'm like, why isn't he on it? Because he played fucking 60 years ago. Isn't that nuts?
Yeah, no, it is wild.
That's
it
nuts
is wild.
How long that is. Rest in peace, Bill Russell.
R.I.P.,
yes. We'll do a shot for you at the pub tonight, promise. I think the last thing we got to mention is breaking news into today. We didn't mention it during our football minute, but James White retires after having, I think it was a problem with his knees or something like that.
Hip surgery.
Hip surgery. It didn't go well. Didn't bounce back the way I wanted to. But I just want to thank James White here on these airwaves because he was a hell of a player, man. You know, that Super Bowl against the Falcons, that doesn't happen without him. I think, you know, coming out of Wisconsin, I think he was like a fourth, fifth rounder. What wasn't the favorite, you know, or to start any year, but just probably the best pass catcher in Patriots history.
Oh, absolutely.
As a running back, no questions asked. You know, you could tell you really missed the hole. I know Brandon Bolden came through at the end of the season last year, but they're really missing a third down back. It really opens up the door for a guy like Ty Montgomery this season to play like Corral did during the when they won against the Rams back in 2018. But I know I'm going around everywhere, but I think James White, a you know, prominent Patriots player, and he'll be remembered for a long time. I think he's got a great chance to be in the Patriots Hall of Fame.
9 years, no fumbles.
It's unbelievable.
None. And the game-winning touchdown of 28-3. I mean, just an absolute legend.
All security's job security.
Yeah, just without a doubt, a Patriots legend. Right up there. Yeah. Like, he's right up there with, like, the old, like, first dynasty. Like, it would be Kevin Falk in the first dynasty. Yeah. It's James White.
And if you think about it, that's a hell of a debate. I know people went out today and was just like, oh, he's the best pass catcher running back in history. But him versus Kevin Falk was a beast, man.
Oh, yeah, I know. No, that's Dynasty yeah. 1, Dynasty 2. Yeah. And you can go in on that all day. Mm-hmm. But, like, two Patriot legends.
Legends.
Without a doubt. Oh, best of luck, James White, whatever you do.
Showing up the Michigan country. Tom Brady just welcomed him in. I'm surprised he never played for the Bucks. I'm still very shocked by that.
He might have if the hip worked.
Yeah, the hip's gone. He's yeah. like Edelman. He's not coming back.
I'd like James White also, the way he played too, like don't come back, man. Like, he was a warrior. Yeah, you know yeah. what I mean? Like, that was Chippy, 9 years again, beat up. Like,
for sure. Yeah, I think that's about it. We have the show. So, I mean, if you haven't heard yet, we're having our second annual Steel and Naz softball tournament. Going to be Saturday, September 24th. We're raising money for cystic fibrosis, memory of Dennis and Dan Sullivan. You know, it was great turnout last year, raised $6,000 and 9 teams. Now I think we have a little bit more than 10 teams this year. I already have some sponsors and we're getting the ball rolling here starting this week. So it's going to be great to see, Mike Steele's going to be live from the grill. We're going to be at Pageant Field this year.
Get ready. Be there.
Will Greg be there this year? We'll be in Vermont.
We'll see.
I hope he's there.
TBD. TBD. Magic, hope for the best.
Magic Mike had too much fun at Kendrick Lamar last night. I think he's still in the garden. I'm not sure if he got
hasn't
out.
Been fun.
What are you doing this weekend? And share the public? You going?
This week I am going to New York early tomorrow morning. Rage Against the Machine concert tomorrow night. Madison Square Garden. Cannot wait.
How are you getting there?
Nice ride. Nice ride.
In and out?
Got lucky. Like earlier in this tour, their singer, Zach De La Rocha, injured his leg. And due to that injury, like they're doing tomorrow's show and Sunday's show in New York. And then after that, they were going to go to Europe. And they canceled all of their European dates.
Oh, so you got the last.
Yeah, second to last show.
And they've been canceling you for years, right?
We're 2 years into this right now.
And they've been canceling. Well, Boston Calling canceled.
The first one, like that was peak COVID. Like COVID happened like 2 months before. So I understand that. Mm-hmm. World was a weird place. Had to do that. Then they canceled it again. But now we're here. And they canceled other people. So fuck them. My day is tomorrow. Yes. Can't wait. It's going to be amazing.
Let's go. Well, I'm cheering for you.
Probably not going to sleep tonight.
No. Never
Just
that.
So anticipated.
Patriots preseason game, Thursday night. Folks, want to thank you for tuning in. Hedge Better making this all possible. Big shout-out to Justin, man. Appreciate you, everything you do. Big shout-out to Slide Ice Fitness and Performance. Craig Kelly out of Braintree. As long law offices of Patrick J. Foley as well. Big shout-out to Pat. He's gonna be, I think they're both going to be a sponsor for the softball tournament. So they're doing big things. Can't wait to have Patrick in here for we're going to have the NFL picks coming up soon within a month. Actually, NFL kickoff, it's August 11th. Today, September 11th, is opening week one Sunday. A month from now, we're going to be kicking.
Yeah. Fuck Thursday night. I need redemption.
Episode 88, 95 for life. Look out for Steel and Naz. Be safe out there. One love. Yeah, that's a great one. We'll get lost.
2022 is here. Do you have your resolution? Here's an idea. Make your way down to Slight Edge Fitness and Performance located in Braintree, Mass. Owned and operated by Coach Craig Kelly, you can be assured you are getting the best training around. Whether looking to improve your health or gain a slight edge on your competition, this is the gym for you. Group fitness classes as well as personalized one-on-one training are both available. Make sure to visit slightedgefit.com as well as follow them on Instagram at slightedgefitness and set up a consultation today. It's time to get fit, so let it rip.